like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Okay, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush, the latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Thank you, Angel. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Ruby Kaser is going to stay in studio with us. We're going to just throw all the sports topics in the world at you, and then you just be ready to go.
Okay.
This is where we just kind of go through some of the top stories trending nationally right now. And this is one that's interesting to me. NBA salary cap projections show greater increases. Sources say the NBA did, in fact, inform teams Wednesday that it has updated its salary cap projection for the 23-24 season. The cap is projected to be $136 million, and the luxury tax is projected to be $165 million, higher by $2 million and $3 million. Is that going to change things for perhaps Bruce Brown re-signing a long-term contract with the Nuggets?
Yeah, that would affect his, not the team option this year, it's like the 7.8, but it would affect the 13 point whatever next year.
Yeah, so that might change some things for old Brucey there.
I know Bruce is in Boston right now. Posted on his Instagram.
What's he doing in Boston?
I don't know. He's from Boston, so
okay.
Calm down.
Okay. I was like, is he talking to Boston?
That's his hometown. He has family there.
Okay. All right. We'll let him slide on that one. Dude, all the trades that are going on in the NBA are fascinating because you know what they're doing? They're all trying to figure out how to beat the Nuggets. For the first time in my life, Ruby, we're talking about the Nuggets and teams are trading and moving pieces around so they can try to beat them. Did you watch a lot of the playoff series?
Yeah, I did. It was really fun. I actually went downtown to watch the final, which was so fun.
Sweet. Yeah.
When they won in Old Town, the fire trucks went through the town doing the horns and everything. And I'm from Oregon, so watching the Blazers. So I feel like kind of a similar like vibe with the Nuggets. I wish the Blazers could have done what they did, but kind of cool to see them come out on top.
Are you a Damian Lillard fan then? Because I saw you perk up when the story popped up there.
Who isn't a Damian Lillard fan?
So what do you think is going to happen there with Portland? Are they going to build around? He's not really interested in the rebuild. Poor guy. I feel for him because he's been one of the best players in the league for so long, and Portland just can't figure out what to do to build around him.
I know. He's a stand-up guy, and people get really worried every time they're talking about him leaving or what's going on. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah, I feel for you if that happens with Damian, because if Joker leaves, Angel, I'm not doing the show anymore.
Yeah.
When he retires, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. Like, I won't know. The Celtics, the Wizards, and the Grizzlies agreed to a three-team trade late last night that's going to send center Kristaps Porzingis to the Celtics, Marcus Smart to the Grizzlies, and Tyus Jones to the Wizards. Now, I've been talking about Boston maybe being the team. Marcus Smart was a big piece to that puzzle. So that's an interesting trade there that Boston would go forward with.
Yeah, big piece there. Obviously, with John Morant being out for the 25 games, you're going to need someone to step in and be a leader for that team. If not, our own David Roddy down there, if he can take up a big role there. And then the Porzingis move, that's a big move for Boston. It looks like maybe they had unfinished business this year with Miami and think that they can get it back if Tatum and Brown and all them can piece it together the right way.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see if Porzingis can kind of find another place to take hold. Because remember when he came in the league, he was a unicorn. Everyone's like, this guy is a rare player. And that only lasted for a couple of seasons. And then he kind of faded back and forth. And he's been to, what, four teams now? Five? He's on his fifth team now?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nuts. Yeah, it absolutely is. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred came out and said he has regrets over his handling of the Houston Astros sign-stealing scandal by offering them immunity. Because basically he offered immunity to the Astros so they could all come forth and rat each other out, but if you tell me, I won't do anything to you. Like, you can't do anything at that point. What's the point of even doing an investigation? It's insane.
They cheated.
I know, I'm a Dodger fan, so that one hurt.
Oh, it's crazy, though. Think about it. It's like, hey, we are going to give you immunity because we want to do an investigation. But when we investigate and figure out that you guys actually did cheat and do all this stuff, we can't really do anything. We just want to know that it happened. And it did. It's absolutely insane. Speaking of David Roddy,
mm-hmm.
Did you ever talk to David much? Did you? I mean, how does that work with different programs and athletes, do you guys cross over much and hang out and see each other?
Yeah, I feel like our whole like social group is just all of the athletes, and so we all know each other pretty well. David Roddy and I were actually, we both do that Journey NIL together, and so he was still on for a while he was in the NBA, so that's been kind of fun. But yeah, I've definitely like seen him around, and yeah, we're not besties or anything, but he's a great guy. And
I tried to become best when we had the show. I mean, we took pictures and stuff, and I mean, it was...
You text him every morning.
I text him every morning. I think about David Roddy a lot, and I'll just shoot him a text, say, what's going on, man? Sometimes I get a text back.
Oh, nice.
You know, when you do it every day, though, it can get a little annoying.
Yeah, I'm the sure. odds, I'm sure, at
yeah,
some point.
You finally just get him text back, like, dude, I'm good, what's up? yeah, interesting stories. I just think it's really cool to see the NBA... All these deals you're seeing right now, this is what you see. Every time there's a champion, they are trying to build their team, retool their team, rebuild it so that they can beat whoever the champ was. And right now, teams are trying to figure out, how can we stop what the Nuggets did last year? It's pretty special, really. And for the first time in my life, this has ever been the case. I mean, like Minnesota last year, they were trying to – they added Rudy Gobert to try to beat the Nuggets. But now you're seeing almost every team in the league is saying – how do we beat Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets?
Well, we go back to what was the biggest adjustment, apparently, of the playoffs was the Rui Hachimura thing that the Lakers did. And you mentioned it with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Do we see other teams try to go to a more two-big-man type of defense just to stop Jokic?
Well, because they, even though the Nuggets swept the Lakers, it kind of, I don't want to say worked because they couldn't win, but every game was competitive. And it kind of worked, because if you can say, okay, Joker's probably going to get his, we'll go one-on-one, we'll put our better center as more of a free safety type guy that can float around. Maybe it can slow him down, confuse the power forward, which was Aaron Gordon, and it kind of worked. If you can get a better Rui in, and a better player that could do that, then it might slow the Nuggets down. Might. That's
Does
the key word.
The two-man game with Murray and Jokic have any impact on teams in the future? Do they try to emulate what they do?
See, and I think because for the longest time you kept seeing teams build through, okay, a really good guard and, you know, maybe a small forward that can play both positions, power forward, whatever. What Jamal and I'm not going to say it's Kobe and Shaq, but what Jamal and Joker is it's the guard to the big man combo that you don't see as much when we got into this world of the big three where teams were building these superstar teams. It wasn't always the case. It was more like, because LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade, especially Bosh or Wade and LeBron, I mean, you're talking a guard and you're talking a forward there. So I do think that teams are going to look at it and say, how do we get a big man that can shoot and pass but can also work a two-man game with a point guard? And I do think you're going to see that. You're going to see a lot of teams really strive to fix their two-man game. And it's fun to see it right now, you know, because every move everybody makes, it's like, how do we get past this team? Because that's who you're going to have to get past next year.
Is there a bit of confidence in you that's just like, nah, none of this matters?
Right now there is. I think it's funny that the Suns, again, are like, everyone's freaking out about what they did in their trade situation. I mean, it's not a terrible move because Chris Paul wasn't the future there with Phoenix. But I'm not worried yet. We'll see. I mean, I know. It's probably here we go. We've never won a championship before, and now I'm like, we're never going to lose again. Yeah. We might never lose next year. We might go 82-0 and win a title. Wouldn't that be something?
Knock on wood.
Did you ever see that in your career, Ruby, where with your team? Because obviously you guys you're in the mix every single year. Did you see that around where teams are trying to figure that out? How do we beat them? And that's got to be kind of a cool thing if that was the case.
Yeah, I think we've always been known for being the most physical team in the Mountain West. And so we have the biggest jumpers. We have the highest touchers. We have the tallest girls. And we're playing against girls who are hitting in the front row and are my height, which is always kind of fun for me because sometimes I get to scout team in the front row and get to hit a little bit, which is fun. But now with the transfer portal, a lot of teams have been bringing in bigger girls and getting more physical. So we don't really... I mean, I'd still say we're one of the most physical teams in the conference, but it's not by a long shot anymore. It's like these teams are bringing in big girls and physical girls, and that goes back to the transfer portal again.
And the transfer portal, that's another discussion we haven't really got into with you, is how wild that is now. And I think that the NIL and the transfer portal thing, they are working together because, you know, we know, like, Dalton Connect, the UNC stud, good player, but would you have said... he's like a power five starting guy that could just do some crazy things in March Madness.
No, not obviously not in the SEC where he's going in Tennessee. Like, yeah. I wouldn't have pegged him there.
And my little birdies out there are telling me he's like $300,000. Like, yeah. That's insane, right? I mean,
yeah, it's even like Tanjay going to Mizzou. No, and like, we see it.
Is his number up there too?
Yeah, he had a huge, what I've heard. I mean, I don't know. We don't know. But you know, it's like when they're going through the recruiting process, especially with men's basketball, like that's a topic of conversation. And
well, technically, that's supposed to be illegal, right? You're not like, because where did Tanjay go? He went to Mizzou.
Mizzou,
right?
Yeah.
So they let him know that they're interested, right? Or does he enter the portal first? How's that supposed to work?
Well, how much do your coach, like you say, like everyone's learning through this. How much do your coaches know about this? And do they actually, are they able to educate you all in an effective way on NIL stuff?
Yeah, I'd say almost every meeting that we're in now, no matter what it's about, NIL's brought up. And so we've had Open Doors come in, and they're one of our like companies that kind of is supposed to help organize NIL deals, that every CSU athlete has an Open Doors account, and you can go onto our roster, click on my page, click on my Open Doors, and schedule a deal with me through that if you want. And so they've had Open Doors come in and do clinics and meetings and stuff. And I know they've done a lot of work with like the football team and stuff, but all of us, we've got a lot of education on it. But it's also just like, I don't know, that kind of stuff with like, they're not going to educate you on what happens when you enter the transfer portal, obviously. And like when I haven't gotten recruited in 4 years, so I don't really know what it's like, you know, when you're getting recruited, what conversations you're having. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it works, honestly, with the recruiting part.
Well, because we had, was it Jay Norvell was on a couple months ago? Was it? And then didn't he say, like, kind of like in passing during the interview, he's like, yeah, we know Pac-12 coaches are reaching out to our guys. Well, that's not supposed to be the case, right? You can't be doing that.
Yeah. I know. There's a lot of rules that I feel like people find little ways of getting around.
Yeah.
So it's like, been that way forever.
And but I think that's the scary part, because what's going to, okay, let's say I'm a business owner and I can contact you, Ruby, and I can say, hey, I love the UNC Bears, and I know that if you were to transfer over there, or if you were to enter the transfer portal, they'd be interested. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
And I also know that there's like 14 businesses that would jump right on an NIL deal that could be upwards of $200,000. Anyway, do with that what you will. Have a good day.
Yeah, it's
like, that's happening, right?
Yeah, and I think it's also interesting because the one part that I do kind of like about it is I feel like it's also making athletes stay in college longer. Like, you don't see a lot of guys like jumping, going to the NFL a year early or going to the NBA a year early, because it's like they can make good money in college. You don't have to go and get a contract signed right away, which I think is, I like when athletes stay
point.
The whole time.
Yep.
So I guess that's like a positive way to look at it. But
yeah, because if you're making some good money sticking around, you know, a lot of us talked about Isaiah Stevens and what he might do. It's like, well, yeah, now there's this green and gold guard. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Gold guard. You know, they're working, and now you can make some money playing basketball here. There's no guarantee that you're going to go to the NBA. There's no guarantee that you're going to stay in the NBA either. Isaiah's a really good player, so he'll have a future. But, hey, I can make some pretty good money now, and this is kind of a sure thing. I'm staying for another year.
Yeah, and I think the cool thing about Isaiah Stevens is he decided to stay, but it's like he, I'm sure, has people chirping in his ear, like, you enter the transfer portal, you could go Power 5, you could go here, you could go there, but it's like, he also, I think, knows, and I'm sure people are advising him, that's like, you stay in Fort Collins, people are really going to support you here. Like, they know you here, they love you here. Like, the businesses are, they want you here, and like, you're going to be their guy. And so I think that's also a cool thing, is like, he is staying here and he loves CSU and he wants to ride it out here, which is awesome. But it's also like, it's not going to be a bad like financial thing for him either. I think he's already got some good deals, but I'm sure more will come.
Well, and that's where I did like it, because I thought, you know, schools that when you're talking football that aren't in the Power Five or whatever, well, that doesn't, you know, if you're Fort Collins and you want to keep guys, Fort Collins makes good money. There's a lot of great businesses there. What's to say they don't make just as much money as Alabama, as far as the actual business side and the infrastructure there? So they can come together and hook it up with this green and gold guard, throw a lot of money there, and suddenly you're getting just as good of players because the business base and blueprint is there in the town of Fort Collins.
Yeah, and I think the cool thing about Fort Collins is it's a small enough community where it's like, CSU is a big thing there, and it's like they're going to want to like throw their money into CSU rather than like if you were in a bigger city where there's USC, UCLA, like all these different schools. And I don't know, I think that's a cool, unique thing about Fort Collins, is like they're going to be really bought into your program, which is cool.
Angel, I want you to ask Ruby about the EA Sports thing, because we wanted to know, like, if EA Sports comes to you and says, we're going to put together a volleyball game, and we got this offer. So, Angel, phrase that to her the way we were talking about the other day.
Okay, so I'm EA Sports. We're going to be – so now that we can pay players and college players to be in our video game, we're going to create the first ever EA Sports college volleyball video game. You, as a CSU athlete, we're going to offer you $500, just $500.
Just for that game.
To have your name, your jersey number, your stats, and your face in the video game, and people can buy the game and play as CSU and play as you as a character. How's that sound?
But it's $500 flat, so no matter what they make off of the game, I don't get any more.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good
deal. So you wouldn't do it?
No.
Okay, that's interesting.
I'd have a little bit of a back and forth, I think, before deciding.
What would be a reasonable number? Or do you want to get, like, royalties? Are we
talking?
That's
what I'm thinking, royalties. Like, I don't know what a reasonable flat number is, but if, like, what? Let's say I become the most popular college volleyball player in the next year, and every single person is picking to be Ruby Kayser, and they're buying the game because I'm on it, I want money for that.
That's an interesting point. Well, it kind of reminds me. I don't know. I'm a nerd. History Channel, the Food That Built America. Have you ever heard of those shows? There will be guys and businesses that sell. They come up with an idea like Snickers, and they sell the recipe because they want $3,000 at that time. And then the guys take that brand and blow it up, and now it's worth billions of dollars. So what you're saying is interesting, because it's like, okay, what if that game flips out and people, it's flying off the shelves, and now there's billions of dollars, and you did it for $500. I get where you're going with it.
Yeah, but also $500 to a college student is a lot of money. So that's, I could see somebody taking that. I don't know. I could see myself taking that.
Do you agree with,
if it's EA Sports, I might not be taking it, knowing.
Do you agree with, like, okay, so it's like they're kind of coming up with like a players' union with this, right? Basically saying it's all or nothing.
Not really. The players are doing it. It's the company that was negotiating on behalf of the players. They work directly with the schools to negotiate the NIL deals with businesses. And like we said, EA said like a handshake deal, okay, we'll work with you, and then they didn't work with them. So now that company is trying to sue EA for saying you went around us to negotiate.
Wow, that's wild. I mean,
and there are other players that are on the opposite side of us that said, I would do it for free. I would, you know, I just want to be in the game.
I guarantee
$500 is $500.
If we're doing a volleyball game, and I mean, what's a random school that doesn't have a good volleyball program? That player on that team might be like, yeah, $500 would be great.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody's going to play as me. So it's like, but you guys are CSU. You guys are always right there. So someone was like, yeah, heck yeah, I'm going to play as Ruby Kayser.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to make that happen.
Yeah, it's interesting. Or if like it was like a startup coming to me and like not EA Sports and was like, hey, like $500, like we'll be your player, whatever. I'd be like, oh yeah, whatever. Like make your video game. But knowing like EA Sports is probably going to make a ton of money off of it. I don't know.
I appreciate that, because with me thinking about it, well, and I guess here's where I stand with it, is like you should just be able to make that decision individually. So I'm hoping it doesn't turn into it's the all the players got to agree or nobody can.
Right.
So I'm hoping that, yeah, you might go, you know what, I have second thoughts on that. I don't know if I'm going to do it. Great. That doesn't put the kibosh on the game. Now random Sheila can come out and say, you know what, I actually would like $500, so I'm going to do it. And that part, I think, would be nice, and I hope it doesn't get to the opposite of that.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with that.
First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Sarah texting is, she must have watched Air. That's exactly the point. Royalties are for your likeness, creating forever value. Did you watch
Air? I did watch Air, and it was cool because I'm from Oregon, so it's all in Beaverton, Oregon.
Oh, wow, okay.
Which is pretty cool. It's the whole Phil Knight story, which is, it was good. I liked it a lot.
Are we doing movie reviews still? Because we haven't done one in like 6 months. 6 weeks.
I mean, we can. Air's one of the movies I want to see.
Okay, so we were doing, because summertime's here, and obviously sports, the Rockies are terrible, so there's only so much we can talk about.
Yeah.
So we're like, let's do random sports movies, not necessarily new.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
So you could come in and be our special guest reviewer when we do Air.
Oh, yeah. I love sports movies. Yeah, Air was good. I would recommend it.
So think about this, then. The way we rank it, Angel came up with this very sophisticated, amazing system. You think of it in terms of a basketball team, and you've got 10 players on your roster. Are you starting the movie? Are you benching the movie? Or are you cutting the movie? So that's how you – I want you to think about that now for the rest of the day. Make that top priority.
Okay.
Okay. What did we review last? It's been so long.
We did White Men Can't Jump, the original, and Moneyball.
Have you seen those?
Ooh, yeah, I have. I haven't seen the new White Man Can't Jump, though.
I don't want to see it because I'm like, there's certain movies you just don't, like, that's not a remakeable movie. I don't understand that.
I know. Jack Harlow's all the craze, though, so it was a good move.
And I don't even know who that is.
Oh,
who
see,
is that?
He's a rapper.
Okay.
He's very popular right now, though.
Did you know?
I know who he is, but I don't listen to his music.
So we're getting the... See, we're kind of... Like, yeah. I'm way over here. I'm like, if it ain't AC/DC, I ain't interested. And then who's the other guy? It's Jack Harlow and who else?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
All I know, Jack Harlow was a good casting move if they were going to remake that
so
movie.
So you'll go see it?
I might. It's on Hulu, I think.
Oh,
I think
is
it's streamed mm-hmm. somewhere. Yeah. Yeah, I might. I haven't seen it yet.
So, but you've seen the original?
I've seen the original, yeah.
Is that a starting lineup? Or is it a bench? Or is it on the...
Out of all... I would have to have like a full.
All, and see that's
the challenge.
You
don't know what other movies we're gonna are
yes,
gonna be on the.
And
team.
That's
on
where our listeners are absolutely pissed about how we're doing this because they're like, "That's unfair. What if you knew Rudy, man? I can't."
I know.
But we might not. So you have to kind of.
Oh, that's tough.
You kind of have to go into this going. There could be better movies coming along, or there could be worse movies. So
I know I might bench it because I don't know.
Did I bench it or cut it?
I think you cut it.
I think
your,
I actually
your opinion
liked
changed
that movie,
I like
but
it
changed because when I watched it when I was younger, I was like, this is amazing. They're cussing all the time. This is great. And then I watched it like 3 months ago. I'm like, you know,
yeah,
it's not as good as I remember. And they
there's
like have
better
this.
Sports movies.
There's better
know?
Sports movies. And they have like this special bond. Woody Harrelson, Wesley Snipes, after like 2 days, they hate each other. And suddenly they're like, I'll die for you, man.
Yeah. Well, don't bring up the Jeopardy scene because. That's the worst 5 minutes of the movie, apparently.
Is that what Tanner said?
Tanner's take,
he hated,
yeah.
He hated the Jeopardy scene. I loved the Jeopardy scene.
I don't even
apparently
know.
Apparently
it
has nothing
that.
To do with
it's
the movie.
It's when Woody Harrelson's girlfriend gets on Jeopardy finally.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah.
And it's like foods that start with the letter Q or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, I loved that. But I ended up, I did what you did. I'm like, there's better movies that were, and we control it, so I know that we're going to have better movies coming
yeah.
up. So I cut it. Cut it out. And then we did Moneyball. Have you seen
I
that
like
one?
Moneyball.
I
yeah.
started Moneyball.
I might start Moneyball.
Did you start Moneyball?
I think so.
Yeah,
yep.
Moneyball's just...
It's a good one,
it's
yeah.
a great movie. All right, 12:27. This is kind of a fun, unique show. And you're when do you have to leave? Because you can stick around with it. We're off at 2.
Yeah, I got time.
Okay, you got time. That's what I like to hear. 12:27 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Rodeo Radio is back during the Greeley Stampede. Only in Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. If we would have done this on Tuesday, we could have called it Ruby's
Tuesday.
We could have, but it's Thursday. Is it Thursday? It's Thursday.
It's Thursday.
It's fine, yeah. they don't know. It doesn't always work out like
yeah.
that. I should have thought about this, and now we got to put you on the spot, but are you kind of a Seahawks fan?
Kind of, a little bit. I feel like if you're from Oregon, you cheer for the Mariners and the Seahawks and those teams because we don't have those professional teams, but I have a lot of family in Southern California, so I do find myself cheering for the Dodgers and now the Rams a little bit, and yeah, so.
So how do we feel about Russell Wilson? How do you feel about Russell Wilson?
You ever done anything dangerous?
Did you get a lot? Did you see? I mean, we just saw Russell Wilson as a really good quarterback. We didn't see all the Subway ads and all the goofy things he was doing. We didn't see that. We just saw Russ was good. Then he comes to Denver, and it was just like really awkward. If he wins, nobody cares.
Yeah.
But was he like... What was your take on him when he was playing for Seattle?
I don't know. I mean, he had such a great career at Seattle, so you can't complain about him too much. But I don't know. I do feel like that awkward. Like, I don't know if I'd want to interview Russell Wilson. Like, what's that interview got to be like? I did see, though, I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan, and he's a Swiftie. So he did win part of my heart with that. But
I imagine an interview with him is like he would not break eye contact while you're interviewing. And it would be the most intense interview ever. And then you'd just kind of start to look away. And he's like, no, up here.
Oh, with the eye contact and smiling
yes.
the entire time.
Yeah.
Well, you just wonder, like, is he a genuine – he seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
But is it all just
– like, are you a robot?
Yeah, is it just a robot thing? And
yeah.
that's what we're all wondering for next season here. It's like – can he figure it out? Or was it all Pete Carroll's genius that made Russell Wilson? Because look, Russell was awful last year. His worst career year ever. Geno Smith's best career year last year was under Pete Carroll, who's a defensive-minded coach.
Yeah.
So that's what's insane to me is like, because you're a Pete Carroll fan.
Right? Yeah, I grew up watching a lot of USC football, so it was a little tough when he left after all the sanctions at USC.
Which would be totally fine now.
Yes, exactly, which killed a couple USC fans for Pete Carroll. But I do think Pete Carroll has that charisma, and he's able to like bring that out of people. But so maybe he balanced it out with Russ, but I don't know.
Well, they seemed like they were tight at one time. I always thought they were cool with each other, and then as it
they
faded,
like shared bubble gum and stuff.
Well, Russ did that thing where he dressed up as him for Halloween, and like that was funny. And I'm like, oh, this is great. And now you hear that they're not so tight. That it went south pretty quickly there. So it's fascinating. I think it'll be a fun story to follow this year with the Broncos, and I'll be curious to see if Seattle can do it again.
Yeah.
Now they got all of our draft picks. Or now they have all of our draft picks and use them. So that was a lot of fun. Ruby Kayser sticking with us here. CSU volleyball. Great stuff from her. If you guys missed any of the 11 o'clock hour, we really went into the NIL stuff and just how she kind of views it, how she's utilizing it. And I think it's awesome, and it's an awesome story. 35 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You come in with that one. That's a great tune. Ruby Kayser joining us, CSU volleyball. Are you a WWE fan?
I don't follow much WWE.
No.
I know. Does that surprise you?
No, I don't either, but I used to, and that was from the old school stuff.
Okay.
Back in the day. Go back and watch it.
Okay.
You'll enjoy it. I'm pretty sure. Angel's not.
You don't have to.
It is a daily segment. We try to throw back a 90s wrestling reference at least once or twice a show.
Okay, good.
So
we all have goals, you know.
Yes, and that is my goal. And we've done it today. Thank you, Angel. You made that one easy for me. Are you an ESPYs fan? Are you going to watch the ESPYs at all?
I like to like tune in and see like who's at it. It's always cool when the college athletes go. I always like to see kind of who's there, but yeah.
What are the chances you think because the Nuggets are up for best team. What are the chances the Nuggets actually win that? Because ESPN doesn't like the Nuggets.
I want to know who else is against them.
I know LSU's in there on the women's basketball side. Las Vegas is in there. The Golden Knights. The Chiefs are in there. Who's the WNBA team that won it last year? They're up there.
The Aces?
Aces are in there.
Because that's Becky Hammon.
Yep.
Right? Yep.
So they're in there. There was one more and I'm missing it. I don't know.
I feel like the Nuggets being most recent might help them, but I feel
maybe.
Like LSU might give them a run for their money with that Angel was... Reese and all those girls.
Okay, I'm glad you're in here then. Because Angel Reese, I absolutely loved what she did.
Yeah.
The whole trash talk and the finger. I loved it. Even though it was after the game, we were talking about it.
Yep.
And growing the sport that way.
I agree. And it was cool because I felt like, the women's games had more viewers than the men's games, which I, of course, I'm that's awesome. And with her and Caitlin Clark and Haley Van Lith and all of those girls, just being so, not just great basketball players, but big personalities. And I like to see them get a little competitive in there and give each other a little talk. And so I enjoyed it. And I watched all of the Final Four games.
Especially that championship game.
Oh, yeah.
I was into that. And then afterward, I was I played high school sports, but I wasn't really a big trash talker, but I like watching it because it makes me interested in whether it makes you want to root for that person more or root against them. Russell Westbrook, he's the guy everybody loves to hate, and you need those people in sports.
Yeah, I always thought it was fun playing against teams that could kind of talk a little trash because it gives you get that adrenaline of let's go, you know? And I think it's fun. I liked watching it. And I was watching with people who were kind of like, oh, that's classless or whatever.
Yeah, I heard the classless. It's
sports. If a guy did it, would you say it was classless?
I'd love it then too.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought it was awesome.
Are you a trash talker? Is it harder to talk trash in volleyball because you're on opposite sides of the net?
In high school, I was an all-around player. I'd play in the front row, too, and I'm a little too short to play in the front row in college. But when I was in the front row, I could talk a little something across the net. But when you're in the back row the whole time, it's a little hard. You're too far away to, give them a little something. But, yeah, I like to hear – I like when the fans talk trash. I kind of like it. It brings good energy for me. But
I feel like it
What
could.
About in practice?
In practice,
when you're going against your teammates.
We got a lot of trash talkers in practice, I'll say. Our team, we all love each other and we all get along great, but we'll give each other a little trash talk. And I think it brings the environment up in practice.
Does it get heated in practice? Have you ever gotten to the point where, Like a little Draymond Green punchy? Does anybody get a little punchy sometimes?
Nothing serious, nothing physical for sure. But I'm sure some people have left with their feelings hurt before. But I think we all are good at like letting it go, and we're all friends at the end of the day. But yeah, sometimes you're like, oh dang, like you're a little spicy today or something like that. And yeah, I think we all have thick skin. So
when did you know? Because obviously you had to be a really amazing volleyball player for a very long time to get into be a Division I volleyball player. But when did you know, I'm probably going to play college volleyball. When did you know that?
I think I'd played clubs since I was little. I started at a small club and then started moving and playing in clubs where we were going to national qualifiers. And my freshman year of high school, that was probably when I started getting interest and like coaches would hand my coaches cards and be like, Ruby, call me, those kind of things. And so I think at nationals when I was 14 or 15, I had a Division I coach like come up and be like, give me a call. And I was like, oh, like, dang, I can go play volleyball in college. And that's kind of when then sophomore, junior year, you're really like putting in the work to get recruited. But I think that like 14-15-year-old Ruby was like, always wanted to play a sport in college, but that was when I was like, okay, this is real. Like, I could actually do it, you know?
I think it's amazing. When you finally hear that, you get somebody telling you, give me a call, you could play at this level. Is it still surreal sometimes, or is it just, it's so normal now because you've been playing at this level for so long?
I think it's still really surreal to me. I like, especially like when I walk into Moby, and Moby's an amazing place to play, especially last year when we sold out against CU. Over 8,000 fans. If you asked me 10 years ago if I ever thought I would be playing in front of 8,000 fans, I'd be like, you're kidding. Like, that's funny. Ha ha. Like, so that's when I start to get a little like nervous and I'm like, woo, like I'm really here right now and that sort of thing. But definitely like my freshman, sophomore year when I'm like getting some playing time as a younger player, I was really would get like, wow, this is real. Like, holy cow. And now it's just kind of enjoying it, you know?
I was one of those guys. I loved playing sports. I wasn't good enough, fast enough, strong enough to go to that next level. But you're always just kind of like, man, what would that be like? But there's so much work that goes into it, right? I mean, the dedication. You're not just a student. You know, you have to focus on your schoolwork and everything to stay where you are. But it's the workouts. It's everything that you're doing to keep you at that level.
Yeah, it's really hard. And I think like the hardest thing is coming in, like realizing like, whoa, I'm not the best person in the gym anymore. And that's like something that I think everyone kind of gets that realization pretty quick right away. But we do like remind ourselves a lot. Like we'll be in a practice where sometimes people are dragging or like, oh, I don't want to be here. Like it's been a long week. And it's like, hey, like you dreamed of this. Like this is where you want to be. Like you've been wanting this your whole life. Like let's like snap back to that and let's think about that and that sort of thing. And so sometimes you have to check each other and be like, hey, like we love volleyball. Like this is what we dreamed of. This is like what we want to do and why we wake up each morning. And so I think like sometimes you need a little check, but most of the time the girls on our team are very, very like, I think we're good job of being present and being like, this is like why we're here. We love this and we love each other. So
we're talking to Ruby Kayser sitting in with us. She's got to leave at like 1 o'clock, but I was like, while you're here, let's just keep talking. How do you respond? I mean, the other thing we've talked about a lot, and it's always like a college athlete athlete's perspective on this, is you see with the times changing, coaches are having to change how they do things. I mean, some of those old school coaches where it's, I'm going to yell, we're seeing some of that fade away. What's your ideal kind of coach? Do you need some of that once in a while, or do you kind of like those player-friendly coaches?
Yeah, I think I've played for a lot of different coaches over my career who have like had that side of it. And I think like when it comes down to it, I just really want a coach that values me as like, I think a coach who can make every single person on the team feel important and feel bought in, no matter what their role is, if they're on the bench, if they're a freshman, if they're a senior, if they're the all-star player. If you get everyone bought into that mission, no matter how you do that, that's a pretty amazing coach, because that's when people start to kind of drop off halfway through the season, is like, oh, like I don't feel like I'm a part of it or whatever it is. I think a coach that's able to do that is a really valuable coach. And I'm lucky that I've had coaches like that at CSU. And so sometimes you'll have a coach get on you and sometimes it's like, oh, dang, like they're really getting on me right now. Or hey, I needed that kick in the pants or whatever it is. I think it can go both ways. But I think a coach that can kind of find that balance of like, I'm being competitive and I'm pushing you, but also like, you got this, like build, like I think confidence building is really important, as well as like, you can build confidence while being one of those coaches. Like, I expect more out of you because I know you can do more. Like, that, I don't know if that makes sense.
Sure. No, it absolutely does. All right. So, last one for you, and then we'll let you get out of here. In 5 years, your ideal situation, what does that look like?
I don't know, 5 years, that's so quick. But I think like the dream at the end of the day is I want to be broadcasting sideline, play-by-play, that sort of thing for a big team or a big organization or a big company. And so that's kind of where I would like to see myself. I job shadowed Jenny Kavnar last summer, and I was like,
love Jenny.
This chick is my role model. Like, this is who I want to be when I grow up. And she's so great. She's a Ram. And so she was more than happy to like take me along her whole day. And she's always reposting my stuff and sharing my stuff and hyping me up. And I actually get to fill in for her this year for the women's clinic for the football team.
Awesome.
So a lot of people have said, oh, you know, Jenny, like she was a Ram. And I'm like, just to be like said in the same sentence as her is like so cool. So if I could be her when I grow up, that would be pretty awesome.
Well, I think you're well on your way. Absolutely. Ruby, thank you so much for sitting in and checking out the new place and everything. And, you know, we'd like to work with you down the road.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. 12:48 the time. Some more tough news surrounding primetime. We'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. Hear Coach Speak weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The time. That was great. Ruby Kaser, great work from her, wants to get involved in this, and she already is in the journalism side, the broadcast side. So she was fantastic, and I thought, you know what, let's have her on, talk about it. It's really interesting, isn't it, Angel, to hear about their perspective, because you and I have been like, $500, really, you wouldn't do it? And she's like, no, I don't want to do that. I'd take $500 for that. I want more. You, it makes sense, you know, for her, from her viewpoint.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you know, I've said I've seen players on social media say that they would do it. Some have said they wouldn't. So getting a real local perspective about it, because this is, we talked about, you know, this isn't just about the big schools like the Bamas and the Ohio States. It's about the CSUs.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting an actual perspective from her was really cool.
Yeah. Some more rough news for Coach Prime. Wow. Every outlet's got this now, but CBS Sports, Colorado coach Deion Sanders to have emergency surgery for blood clot in groin per Adam Jones. So I'm guessing that has something to do with what he's already going through, right?
I don't know if it's directly related, if there was a correlation between whatever foot procedure he may be wanting to have done versus this blood clot. I know it's something he does struggle with the syndrome that he has in his leg. You would hope that they can go in with the groin and just go figure that out. But there's certainly a risk that this, if it travels down his leg at all, it could really complicate the foot even more.
Wow. So that Adam Jones is Adam Pac-Man Jones, by the way, who
yeah, this
got
was
this
on
story
the
out.
Pat McAfee show.
Yeah. So I didn't realize that. Pac-Man was basically telling Pat, he's been dealing with this everything since Jackson State. He had a blood clot in his leg. Same thing with the foot. He was thinking about cutting the foot off, but he didn't. Now, of course, we talked about this the other day. Is that, could that potentially happen? And again, his health is the number one concern. You want him to be okay. But then my brain starts going to, how's he going to stand on the sidelines and coach? I mean, is that a major concern right now if you're CU?
I think it is, because he said he could barely make it through a game at Jackson State.
Just doesn't sound like it's getting any better.
Standing on the sidelines, and not just standing, but walking on the sidelines, talking to coaches, talking to players. If you're getting mad at a ref, you go out on the field. Like, it's a lot of, you're not just standing there with a clipboard and a headset.
Yeah, I've said this for a while now, but I just don't feel like Sanders is in the next 5 years. Is going to be, and this had nothing to do with the health concerns. This was just, he's in his 50s. What is he, like 53 or 54?
Mm-hmm.
He's not a Nick Saban. He didn't grow up into a man being a coach. Like Deion Sanders, obviously, he was a player and very successful player on both sides, baseball and football. Became a big-time media guy. Probably has a ton of different endorsement deals. He was not a coach. He just now started. just a couple of years ago with Jackson State. So I've been saying it for a while that I don't see him being a 10-year coach.
And he's a guy that likes to work out, likes to exercise, and when you're limited in that or even you can't do it at all, that takes an effect on you physically and mentally, because for a guy like that, that's all you've been working out your entire life. It's a routine. It's a release for you. So that part is a struggle. And if you lose a foot, like, that's not just getting on the field, but that's months of rehab.
Yeah, I don't. If I'm in the front office right now over at CU and Rick George and everybody, obviously, like I said, first things first, you hope he's okay. But I'm thinking about the long-term plan here. Like, we committed to this guy.
What do you think about just having him on the sidelines? Just him being there is big for CU.
Yeah, but can he be on this? Like, is he going to be in a chair or something? Would he go in some kind of a chair, whether he loses the foot or not?
I mean, we saw Joe Paterno was in a hospital bed in the booth.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, but again, every coach will tell you, you can't be at your best if you're up in the booth.
And it doesn't seem like he's that type of coach that doesn't want to be right there with his players.
And that, almost any coach, but especially a guy like Primetime, you want him on the sidelines because of all the things he says and does. Like, that's him, the one-liners, all that. The positivity, the negativity, all of what he brings to the table. And so if you're a Buffs fan today, I would imagine you're starting to have some serious concerns about what the future looks like with Primetime, regardless of what they do on the field with the players and everything. You're wondering if he can actually be coaching at his best level, because you know he's in excruciating pain all the time. By the fourth quarter, he's really in pain, and he has to have like these heavy, deep massages done that maybe don't even penetrate the pain sometimes. Yeah, it'll be interesting. 1 o'clock hour, more on that. More on the NBA. What will the Nuggets do tonight? The ESPYs, the Nikola Jokic is up for a lot of awards. What are the chances he wins any of them? It's the ESPYs we're talking about, the network that was pretty much against the Joker all season. Wouldn't that be poetic justice if he's winning their own awards? Final hour of the whole show coming up next.